the Studio Tulsa, I'm Rich Fisher. The OK Mozart Festival is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, and the June 7th through 14th festival in Bartlesville will return to its roots this season, with the music of Vienna featured prominently, including a new initiative that combines the Amici New York Chamber Orchestra, the resident orchestra throughout the festival's history, joining with some of the finest high school orchestral musicians here in the state of Oklahoma. In what they call an OK Mozart All-State Orchestra, the two groups will join forces to perform Mahler's Symphony No. 1, The Titan. The focus on Viennese music also means plenty of Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven, featuring the Miro Quartet, their chamber music in residence, and performances of the Mozart opera The Magic Flute, and this work, Beethoven's Symphony No. 9 with the Bartlesville Choral Society. All in all, there will be 12 formal concerts and chamber music performances, as well as numerous other concerts and events in Bartlesville during the course of the 7-day festival. There will also be an OK Mozart Original Artist Concert tonight, which will feature the Amici New York String Quartet, featuring some of the principal players from the string section of the orchestra, along with the Colorado-based sister group Shell, contemporary music group, in an unusual collaboration concert that takes place tonight at 7 o'clock at the Frank Phillips Club in Bartlesville. For information about the festival or tonight's concert, you can visit okmozart.com. My guests today are Constantine Katsopoulos, the artistic director of the festival, and the new executive director, Randy Thompson. After a number of changes in the leadership of the festival, OK Mozart has returned to its roots in another way, in hiring a person with long roots in the community, in both the musical community and Bartlesville, in Randy Thompson. They join us today to talk about the upcoming season of OK Mozart here on Studio Tulsa. Constantine and Randy, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
OK Mozart is gearing up for its 30th anniversary and a big season. And in this case, Randy, a new executive director.
Yes.
Congratulations on the job.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Now, I have to tell you, I think this is a very smart hire, because since the festival's beginning, with Nan Bullinger, you had somebody who was deeply connected to the community, also a musician, and now you've sort of returned to that in the case of Randy Thompson, who's been teaching at Bartlesville Wesleyan, a big part of the musical community of Bartlesville.
Yes.
So what are your plans for the festival as executive director?
Well, my immediate plan, of course, is to get Oklahoma involved and to use our Amici Orchestra strategically to help grow Oklahoma musicians. That's the reason I think that we have Amici, is that they provide a factor for these students that will be coming to the festival that gives them an extra excitement and a reason to really do their best. And it also gives us a real call for our Amici musicians to be at their best, and to leave something behind in Oklahoma when they come.
Well, of course, I've interviewed many of the musicians from Amici, and they always look forward to coming from New York to Bartlesville, and they've really become a part of the community for many of them over the years. This is now another step forward for the festival in trying to give back to Oklahoma musicians. Talk about this little partnership where you're going to involve some very talented high school, and is it high school or college?
High school age kids. Uh-huh. You know, This season is pivotal in so many different ways. I agree with you. I think Randy was one of the best things that our board of directors did, is to hire Randy. He's brought a lot of great energy to what we're doing.
And he has a great long knowledge of the festival, probably.
Absolutely.
Back to its beginnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really quite wonderful. I think we make a really good team.
Yes, indeed.
Along with everyone else that's mm-hmm. that's working towards the same goal. And so when Randy came on at the end of last summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the idea of putting the OK back in OK Mozart and putting the Mozart back in OK Mozart. So We thought the 30th anniversary season would be a great time to do that. So putting the OK back in OK Mozart for us this year means that we, our opening concert, which is on Sunday the 8th, is involving what we call the OK Mozart All-State Orchestra. This is a group of 55, 60 high school students who are very accomplished at their instruments that will be joining the Amici New York Orchestra on stage. So it'll be students sitting side by side with trained professional musicians, and we're going to do a performance of Mahler's First Symphony, which is a huge undertaking. But we're very, very excited about this new venture because it's something that we want to foster in the future. I love working with students, whether they be high school or college age or what have you. It's a very, very satisfying feeling for me. Also, you know, it's interesting. Everybody thinks, well, okay, the student musicians are going to learn so much from the professional musicians, and they will. There's no question about that. But it also goes in reverse. I find every time I do these kinds of side-by-side concerts that the professional musicians also learn something from the students. They learn something from the idea and the practice of teaching.
No, absolutely. You know, you learn how to work through a given problem, whether it be a particular passage or tonal quality or all sorts of things involved in the teaching process.
That's right. And you know, we had an interview on one of the local television stations yesterday, and one of the things that came up is this idea of STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And I like to put the A in there and make
STEAM.
It STEAM,
yeah.
The A for arts. And Randy played off of that. And what did you?
Well, you put the A in it, and suddenly you have energy.
You know, I mean, that seems completely natural. And, you know, the arts, whether it be music, visual art, theater, dance, really has been well proven to help kids to learn how to solve problems in different ways, whether it be in the arts or in mathematics, science.
Right.
You know, helps with language skills as well.
So that's going to open the festival, this smaller number one.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a longer rehearsal period, or will it be the same sort of professional schedule? Will the kids be sort of learning what the professional life is like?
In a sense, yes. We have some more rehearsals for the kids. They're arriving, I think, on Friday.
They arrive Friday at noon, and they're going to be housed at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. But they've got a full schedule Friday and Saturday of rehearsals with their mentors, sectionals, all, you know, the full day.
And then it comes together for a couple of rehearsals, and boom, you're going to perform.
Right. So, yeah, Friday night, we've got them, as Randy said, scheduled for sectionals. Saturday morning, I think we have sectionals, and then all led by members of Amici and myself and Adri Benjamin as well. Then we put everything together and start rehearsing with the professional group. And Sunday afternoon, we give you a concert.
Wow. That's a pretty short schedule for a Mahler one.
It is. It is. But, you know, we've made sure, and Randy and the office folks have done such a great job making sure that all the students have their music and that they know what's expected of them.
And they have their bowings even.
That's right. You know, Erica Kieswetter, who's our concert master,
yeah.
That's what she wants me to call her, has already bowed the parts. All the string players have their parts, and I'm sure, and we've given them recommended recordings to listen to, so they really get to know the piece pretty well before they show up.
But it's kind of interesting because the trumpets, for instance, are in F. So these students are going to have a challenge. There's some interesting keys for the horn players. The clarinet players have got to have A clarinets or transpose their parts. So, and this is something that very few of them are challenged to do or have an experience doing. So it's going to be a big leap.
Yeah, it really will be. And I assume it's going to be a totally integrated orchestra. So professionals will be playing maybe some solos. Students will be playing some solos maybe.
Yeah, we'll make those kinds of decisions when we actually have everybody together in terms of seeing, you know. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where a professional principal player might lean over to the student who he or she thinks is capable of doing the solo and say, hey, why don't you take it this time?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how it goes, you know. and we'll experiment a little bit too.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting new feature of OK Mozart. I assume this is something you want to institute on a permanent basis, where you have this orchestra coming up to augment, to do a large piece. Because a chamber orchestra, pretty difficult to do Mahler. You can't do Mahler.
Well, that's true. That's true, unless you do. Well, there are now a couple of chamber versions of,
yes,
of Mahler
that's true.
Symphonies. I haven't heard them. But, yeah, I think it's important to extend our reach into the educational area as much as we can. We really, it's a little bit of enlightened self-interest in the sense that we want to develop our audiences for the future, but it's really good for kids to do this. And that's really the altruistic part of it, which is the most important thing. So, you know, we're going to learn a lot from this year because it's our first experience with it. But we hope to also eventually extend it to choral music, to choirs, you know.
Mm-hmm. And band.
And band. Mm-hmm. And whether it be at the high school or the college level, we're talking about that. And Brandy and I have been brainstorming as we go along. And it's
the thing that has really interested me about this, too, is that the theme this year is 18th century Vienna. And this kind of mentoring or apprenticeship would have been the way a person learned how to play.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So in that sense, we're going back to the purest form of music learning. And that kind of excites me. I mean, this really is the history of learning music.
Right, right. And a lot of times now it is the university method as opposed to learning on the job and learning.
That's right.
It's
and
still
so
always
this,
a great
they're,
bit of
they're just
that
gonna,
way.
The progress they'll make with this style of learning is going to be just leaps and bound, exponential.
Now, and I want to change the subject just a little bit, because one of the things you also said, we want to put Mozart back into the festival. And, you know, the festival has undergone a lot of changes over the years and sort of experimentation. And I know in the big glory days of the festival in the 1990s, you had all these people coming from all around the country to OK Mozart. Is this in reaction to those folks who say, I want to hear classical music at this festival?
When I took the job, there were letters on my desk that literally hadn't been opened, and I went ahead and opened them. And they were people that wanted more Mozart.
Ah, uh-huh.
I mean, they made it very clear to me. And having worked at the university for as long as I did, one of Oklahoma Wesleyan's greatest strengths was the fact that it sticks so closely to its mission. So I went back and read the mission of OK Mozart and decided I would be maybe a little bit different than some of my predecessors and really stick to our mission. And we have done that, even to the degree that we wrote a sentence into our mission extending this educational element as a permanent part of our mission. And so I see my job is sticking to the mission.
Right. And so, Constantine, as artistic director, it's okay. We're going to play Mozart and we're going to play Beethoven this
That's
year.
That's right.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
And give us a sense of how you're going to come. Because, again, it's the theme is Vienna, as you mentioned.
Right. The theme is Vienna. Of course, Mahler spent a lot of time in Vienna.
Yes, he did.
The first half of that program is John Kimura Parker is going to play a Mozart piano concerto, number 20. And Monday night we have a gala, a Viennese ball, where we'll have members of Amici New York Orchestra playing Strauss waltzes. So there's Vienna. Tuesday night we have chamber music with the Miro Quartet and members of Amici Orchestra. Wednesday night we're doing a semi-staged performance of The Magic Flute by Mozart. And Magic Flute has a special kind of connotation. It's the last opera that Mozart wrote, and he wrote it actually in German, which at the time was not the custom. The custom was to write in Italian, but he wrote it in German because he wanted to reach the common person. We're doing it in English in a new translation that I've done myself, and it'll be kind of a family-friendly, semi-staged version, using, by the way, quite a few singers from the area universities.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, tell them about your auditions there, because that's more of putting the okay in.
That's right, because I was here in January. We did auditions.
Yeah, that's right.
And
mm-hmm.
We went to
OU down in Norman, and, OCU, right. Mm-hmm. And then also the Tulsa Opera.
Right, Tulsa Opera, yeah.
And Constantine heard 50 vocalists, and he's cast about 9 Oklahomans as principals.
Right. So that we're doing both putting the OK back in OK Mozart and Mozart in one night. Thursday night's our crossover concert with Sarah Jarrus. And with that concert, we're going to be adding some members of Amici to that concert as well. Friday night, of course, Willa Rock. And then Saturday, we're ending with a performance of Beethoven 9th Symphony with the Bartlesville Choral Society. And the first half of that program will also be a Mozart symphony.
So a lot of Mozart this year at OK Mozart. My guests today are Constantine Katsopoulos, the artistic director for OK Mozart, and Randy Thompson, the new executive director. They're celebrating OK Mozart's 30th anniversary, which will take place June 7th through the 14th in Bartlesville. And you have a preview event, which will be taking place tonight, which you mentioned. You said you did this new translation of the Magic Flute. You've been very busy because you're doing arrangements for one of the crossover performance, aren't you?
Right, that's right.
And you've done some arrangements for tonight's performance with the Shell Quartet, which is a contemporary string quartet, and members of the Amici Quartet.
Well, actually, Shell is a kind of a crossover. I guess you'd say that their roots are probably in country and bluegrass, but they cross over. It's 4 sisters. One of them plays keyboard, one of them plays mandolin, the other one plays drums, and the fourth one plays fiddle. And they actually did our block party, our closing block party last year. And I heard them there, and I thought, you know what? These guys would sound great if we added a string quartet to them. And so tonight, what folks will hear is the opening part of the concert will be the Amici New York String Quartet playing some of their repertoire. Shell will play some of their repertoire on the second half of the evening, and then we're going to put them together.
Mm.
And I've done a bunch of arrangements for some of their tunes that will have their world premiere tonight.
All right. Now, I assume arranging sounds like it's a big part of your work as a musician.
It is.
A lot of times conductors, you know, you conduct or, you know, but it sounds like that's something that's a big part of your work.
It is. I mean, you know, it kind of, for me, it kind of started out at, from the point of necessity in the sense that, you know, I was doing concerts and I would bring in a singer, let's say, to perform with an orchestra and they'd need arrangements or orchestrations. And I put up my hand and said, well, I'll do it. You know, and of course, it gets me into trouble because I end up spending too much time doing it. But so I started doing that several years ago, just on an as-needed basis, as an arrangement would fit with a particular theme for a concert or a particular artist or a particular orchestra. And so I kind of made that a part of what I do. I mean, I think that it's important for conductors to be in touch with the creative process as it regards writing. You can more clearly be in touch with intentions of a composer when you're doing Mozart or Beethoven or Mahler or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to the 30th OK Mozart Festival, which takes place June 7th through the 14th. Now, you talked about some of the changes getting back to the roots of the festival, Randy, but will there be any other changes, or will it be for people who go up to Bartlesville, it'll be the sort of familiar thing where you can see a concert, a little mini concert in the morning, and then maybe a chamber music concert in the afternoon?
That's
and then a
right.
big concert
we have
in the
50
evening.
Showcase events all going on during the day, and then our evening program is. And really, since it is the 30th season, it's going to feel very familiar because we're definitely hearkening back to the first 20 years of the festival, and it's going to have very much that feel. We'll have candlelighters in costume coming out and starting the programs again, and greeters in costume greeting people, and so it's going to be a homecoming in a sense.
All right. And now you mentioned the Miro Quartet will be doing the chamber music concert. Are they sort of the foundation for the chamber series during the day?
Yeah, that's they'll be on, I think, each one of the days, right?
Yes.
And
they,
John Kimura Parker is also going to do one of the days. I think he's doing Monday. Is he doing
Monday?
He's
doing Monday.
Right. But yes, essentially the Miro Quartet is
sort of your chamber group in residence.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
All right. And are they focusing again on Mozart and Viennese music or what exactly?
Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven.
Yeah.
And some Schubert.
And some Schubert, right.
Well, it sounds like it's a great festival. Anything else we need to mention?
We have a new website that we have launched. It's gorgeous, and it's it has the complete experience on it. If you go to the website and click on Plan Your Experience, everything pops up, and you can pick your seats and buy your tickets right there.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with the 30th Festival. And again, tonight, this will take place at the Crest Building in Bartlesville at 206 Southeast Frank Phillips Boulevard. You'll be able to hear Shell along with the Amici Quartet and sort of a mix of crossover classical event. Now that's been one of the focuses of the festival over the last few years. Are you going to continue to do things like that, but with the focus mainly on traditional classical music, or exactly?
I think that, you know, the interesting things, take Sarah Jarrus, for example, who's doing our crossover concert in June. She's a graduate of the New England Conservatory of Music, and yet she does this kind of more popular
singer-songwriter kind of thing.
But I think that it's important to give that the value that it's due. And she's a great songwriter, great performer. And I think that the more we can kind of combine the genres, the more we can get one kind of musician talking to another kind of musician, the more kind of mutual understanding that we can have artistically that way, the better it's going to be for the festival and, you know, for performing in general.
Now, Constantine, when you first took over a couple of years ago, I mean, you were sort of saying, okay, you had to put together a festival at short notice. Now you're getting into a longer planning period. What's the planning period for the festival? Are you looking 2, 3 years, 4 years out now?
Well, yes. When I first came on, I had put together a 5-year artistic plan. So we're in year number 2 of that plan. Of course, the thing with any kind of a long-range plan is it has to be a little bit on the fluid side. And, of course, Randy came on and I think bought into the plan. And so we're pretty much going in the same direction with the addition of the youth orchestra component and the side-by-side thing. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of just only enhances what we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And next year is going to be Italy, and that's going to be exciting too.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we were talking about it this morning, big plans.
All right. Oh, yeah. Well, we look forward to that. But in the meantime, there's going to be a great festival this summer
Indeed. In
Bartlesville for the 30th OK Mozart Festival. Constantine, Randy, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Constantine Katsopoulos is the artistic director, and Randy Thompson is the new executive director of the OK Mozart Festival, which takes place in Bartlesville June 7th through the 14th for the 30th anniversary of this music festival in Oklahoma. For more information about the festival, visit okmozart.com. Also, just a reminder, the OK Mozart Original Artist Concert takes place tonight, which will feature the Amici New York String Quartet along with the Colorado-based contemporary group Shell in a collaboration concert tonight at 7 at the Frank Phillips Club in Bartlesville. Again, information at okmozart.com. The festival gets underway in earnest on Sunday afternoon, June 8th at 3 o'clock with the All-State Orchestra and the Amici New York Chamber Orchestra playing Mahler's Symphony No. 1. Here's the comments of Connie Cronley.
Let's see a show of hands of everyone who believes the proverb, pretty is as pretty does. That's what I thought. Some variation of pretty is as pretty does has been around forever. A Chinese inscription in 200 BC says much the same thing, that an attractive heart is revealed in an attractive face. We know that appearances can be misleading, but we still say that what's inside us counts the most, and yet what pain and anguish it causes us not to be pretty, not to be as pretty as we want to be. We spend billions on products and services to make us better looking. However noble our intentions, we betray our real thoughts with our actions and words, and here's an example from this self-same radio network. There's a new book out titled My Life in Middlemarch. The author is Rebecca Mead, and she writes about the book Middlemarch, which was published in the 1870s, and about its author, George Eliot, which was the pen name of Mary Ann Evans. Now, Miss Eliot was not pretty. In fact, she was once described as magnificently ugly. But the author Henry James went on to say, "In this vast ugliness resides a most powerful beauty." So far, so good. But when this new book was reviewed on NPR's All Things Considered, the host was Robert Siegel, and I suppose he was trying to be a wag when he looked at a photograph of George Eliot and said, "What a horse!" Some listeners called him out in the street. One angry woman wrote, "Well, Henry James looks like a toad, but nobody mentions that." True, perhaps, but that doesn't exactly raise the bar of this conversation. It does raise the question, are only women targets for potshots about our looks? Even, or especially, brilliant, talented women. An extraordinary biography of the entire Bronte family is titled Wild Genius on the Moors, The Story of a Literary Family. One of the saddest things this book told me was how Charlotte Bronte suffered because she was plain. All the Bronte girls, Emily, Anne, and Charlotte, were shy to the point of reclusiveness, but Charlotte at least tried to be sociable, especially when she was the author of Jane Eyre and A Grand Lady of Letters. However, she was a woman from the rough North Country with no polished social graces, although there was fire beneath her mildness. In highbrow social gatherings, she rarely spoke, and so her brilliance did not shine. She liked men, especially handsome men, and they admired her, but they married beautiful women. Charlotte was so hypersensitive about her looks, she considered herself almost repulsive. She was tiny and frail, beautiful, large, almost hypnotic hazel eyes, but a square face, a prominent nose, and an unattractive mouth. And like many of the women of that age, with a poor diet, she was missing some teeth. Her hair was very thin, and she was so nearsighted she wore spectacles. One man who met her thought she looked like a plain, provincial, sickly old maid. Since her father was Irish, she spoke with an Irish accent, and that set her apart, too. At one London gathering in her honor, she was so uncomfortable among the chattering, lovely society women that her publisher said, "I realized that in that moment she would have traded her genius to be pretty." Which brings me to a wonderful story I remember from an oral storyteller. A man set out on a quest to find truth. He said he would search the world until he found it. He crossed seas and oceans, deserts and forests, and finally he was told that truth lived in a large, dark cave near the top of a rugged mountain. The man began climbing the mountain. He climbed and climbed until he found the cave, and then he crept inside. At the very back of the cave, he found an ancient, haggard crone crouching near a small fire, hideous to look at. He asked her, "Have I found you? Are you indeed truth?" She nodded that she was. And he asked her, "Is there a message that you would like for me to take from you out into the world?" She nodded yes, and with a gnarled finger gestured for him to come closer. Then she whispered, "Tell the world that you have found me, that you have found truth, and tell them that I am beautiful."
Connie Cronley is a writer, essayist, and the executive director of the Iron Gate Food Kitchen in downtown Tulsa. She's a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. You can look for Studio Tulsa and look for our most recent programs or search through our archives. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.